Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, March 8th, and we're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We appreciate those of you that tune in at 89.9 FM in Madisonville, 89.3 in McKenzie, Tennessee, and 96.3 in Paris, Tennessee, as well as those that listen over the internet at WSOF.org. We're so glad and grateful that you're tuned in and listening to the broadcast today. As I make these introductory announcements and make these mentions, let me remind you that we do have these broadcasts in podcast form on our website there at WSOF.org, that you're welcome to go to those and you can download those and listen to them at your convenience. And hopefully that will be a blessing and a help. And I appreciate those of you that tune in every day, just listening right over the radio. And I want to pray that this broadcast go forth and accomplish the work God has sent it to do. I pray often that God would let the good seed go forth and that it might find some good soil, that it might be buried in the good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to His praise forever. Amen. Also, I want to pray for those that are afflicted. Would like for you to keep Brother Robert Vincent in your prayers. They did move him up to the sixth floor yesterday, and they're doing therapy with him there and helping him recover from that open heart surgery. And they're going to be keeping him there for a few more days and working with him. So if you will, keep him in your prayers. He is doing well, and we're grateful and thankful unto the Lord for that. Also, we understand that Mr. Harris, that we've been praying for, that was in ICU, they were able to take the feeding tube out, and he's able to breathe on his own and able even to communicate with his family. And I've not heard an update since then, but we're grateful for that also. Ms. Combs, that we've been praying for, my understanding they're going to release her and allow her to go home here, I think, today. And so remember her in your prayers, that the Lord would be with her as well. And then also another good news, Mrs. Hall's feeling better. And Brother and Sister Hall did pull out today and are headed over to Missouri to visit with Ben, their son, and his family there for a while. Ben's going to be making a move, and so they want to visit with him while he's there. He's actually going to be moving even farther away, and his business is moving him there. They wanted to be able to spend some time with him. So hopefully this will be a real blessing to both Ben and his family, and then Brother and Sister Hall and their family as well. But I'm glad the Lord helped Mrs. Hall to feel some better. I want you to keep her in your prayers as well. Amen. And then we do have a number of people here in the church. We've got some that have been sick with one thing and another, different problems. And, of course, you know, we know of a lot of people. I know people back home in North Carolina and people here that let me know about problems and things that are in their life that we can pray for them. And what a privilege that it is that we can pray together, and privilege that I can share this with you, that you can pray with us. And I appreciate those of you that do that. I do have a few that let me know that they are praying continually about the needs that we bring up. And I appreciate that. I really do. So keep these folks in your prayer, that the Lord would strengthen, touch, bless, and help, and that God would get glory through these troubles and trials that we do go through. Also, I'd like for you to pray for the radio station here, that God would bless us with the finances that we need to keep going. We're planning on having another marathon next month, and I'm going to be making an announcement about that sometime in the near future. And I want you to be praying for that, that the Lord would help us, that we'd be able to make it till then with our bills paid. Right now, we're making it just day by day, and God's sending in exactly what we need. I thank Him for that. We're not behind on anything. We're actually staying right there, staying current. And I'm grateful and thankful unto the Lord. Been a couple of times that we had to sort of hold back a little bit and make sure things was going to go through. But right now, we're doing all right. And I do thank God. But I want you to keep that as a matter of prayer. We do have, at least another month to go before that we do come into a time of marathon season. And so I'd like for you to help us pray that God would keep things going there for His glory and for His honor. And then if you will, pray for this broadcast, as I already said, that God would bless it and use it for His glory. All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this time. And if you will, bow with us and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for the privilege of the Lord to gather here at the radio, around the radio mic, and worship Thee. For the privilege, Lord, of just having a little church service right here over the radio. And Lord, I know this does not take the place of church, and I'm not trying to do that, but I recognize there are those that otherwise are not able to go to the house of God. And so they can tune in, they can pray with us, they can read along with us, they can fellowship over the radio with us in this capacity, and in that way we can have a little church service. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would take the good seed of the Word of God and drive it home to the hearts of men. Let the good seed find some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That sinners might be saved, that saints might be strengthened, that the work of God might be done, and that you'd receive the glory and the honor. Father, I pray now that you would help these special needs. Lord, I want to thank you that you've helped Brother Vincent. Continue to help Brother Robert, I pray, Lord, and strengthen and bless him and his family. Father, I pray for Mrs. Combs. Thank you that you've helped her. She's going to be able to go home from the hospital. Lord, I pray, give her grace and strength and help in these days and do that is needful there in her and her family's life. Father, I pray that you would help Mr. Harris. Thank you that you have helped him. And Lord, you continue to do that and help his family and meet their needs as well. Do that work that needs to be done there as well, we pray. Father, I want to thank you that you've helped Mrs. Hall. And Lord, I pray that you strengthen her and Brother Hall. Give them safety as they travel out to Missouri. Lord, I pray that you would give them a good time, a visit with their family there, and it be special and a blessing to both Benny and his wife and his children, and then to Brother and Sister Hall as well. And Father, that you might get the glory and the honor. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us here in the house of God on tomorrow evening. How that we need your touch, and we need your breath, and we need your presence in the house of God. And so I pray, dear Lord, that you would make yourself known and you would be here in the house of God. Father, that you might bring sinners and that you might help the saints, and then, Lord, that thy will might be accomplished. Lord, I pray for these special needs that we've been praying about, and Lord, that one unspoken request we was praying about last week, and Lord, you've caused that to have things put off. They've got a little longer to work on this situation, and I pray things will work out according to thy will, and you put it all together according to thy perfect will. Help those that are struggling financially, those that are struggling in their marriage, and those, dear God, that are having different problems that are facing both physically and mentally and emotionally, all these different problems that people face. Lord, I pray you'd show yourself strong on behalf of your children, that you'd help them and show them your grace is sufficient, and you'll meet every need. Father, I pray, bless it and get the glory and the honor. Lord, I do pray for the finances here at the radio station. Would you help us with that? Continue to bless and meet the need, and above and beyond, Lord, that you might give us some money towards the purchase of property, and that we might be able to have our own place there in the McKenzie and Paris, Tennessee area. And Father, I pray that you'd help in that. You'd get the glory and have your way, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' lovely and precious name, amen and amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us, and we're going to get ready to look into the Scriptures, and we're going to be looking at Titus chapter 1, verse 7 again. We're going to try to complete this thought today, but Titus chapter 1 and verse number 7. While you find your place, well, is this good song that I trust will be a blessing. Well, amen. I trust that song was a blessing to your heart, and that was our children singing, all four of our children, Hannah, Joshua, Daniel, and Benjamin. And as they were singing, I was reminded Hannah's church is having revival this week. She goes to the Bluestone Independent Baptist Church there in Clarksville, Virginia. A fine pastor, Dr. Ryan McGuire. And they're in revival meeting this week. I'd like for you to keep them in your prayers that the Lord might touch, bless, and help there and have his way and accomplish his will, that truly the church and the folk might be revived. That's what we need in this day. I don't believe there's a group of people anywhere that does not need a breath from heaven and an awakening and a revival in their spirit. Amen. And so we need to pray towards that end for those that we know of that are having these meetings, that God might help, that it be more than a meeting, that it might truly be revival. Amen. All right. Having said that, Titus chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, "For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God," here's the phrase I'm looking at today, "not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." Now the phrase "not self-willed," I've looked at it now for 3 days already. We're going to complete it today. I've given you a definition of self-willed. That definition means self-pleasing or arrogant. And it also means a pleasing of oneself and fulfilling the lusts and desires of oneself. Webster's 1828 dictionary says that it is, the word self-willed is, quote, "governed by one's own will, not yielding to the will or wishes of others, not accommodating or compliant, but obstinate. Now, I talked about the definition of self-will. We looked yesterday and the day before at, or actually yesterday and Thursday of last week, at the distinction of self-willed. And I got talking about how that children grow up. They go through what we call the terrible twos, in which that babe is becoming a toddler. They're starting, they're getting where they can walk, or at least crawl, probably walk, and they're getting to where that they can maneuver around, have a little bit of liberty and a little bit of freedom, and they want to test. They want to test the boundaries. They want to see how far they can go. They want to see what they can get into. And so they need some rules and some regulations, or else they'll grow up and be spoiled. Well, not only that, but after the toddler situation, about 10 years, they're going to come into a place that we call the teenage years. Again, a little bit more liberty. They're no longer a child. They're turning into more of an adult. And they go through that space where they're testing the barriers again. They want to see how far they can go, what they can do, what they can get into. And if they're not tamed, if they're not restricted and governed a little bit, then they not only will be spoiled, but they'll grow up to be rebels. They'll just be rebellious and rebels. And I'm telling you, those kind of people are headed towards judgment and towards trouble. Amen. Now, I want to talk today, well, let me back up just a minute. I talked about how that these kind of people that we've, this generation that we've allowed to be spoiled as toddlers and unrestrained as teenagers, have grown up to be people that want only to enjoy themselves. They don't care if it kills them. They don't care if it hurts somebody else. They don't care if it divides their family. They don't care if it's against the law. They don't care if it's against everything that is decent, moral, and upright. They're going to enjoy themselves. These people never learn to get along with others. It's all about them. They can't hold down a job because they won't abide by anybody else's rules. They can't keep a home because they won't buckle down and provide for themselves. They're spending their money on what they want to rather than on what they need. And most of these people cannot keep a marriage because they're not interested in living together in holy matrimony, but they're only interested in pleasing themselves. And so I got to talking about how that God has fixed it, that for couples to have a happy marriage, they have to get over their stubbornness, they have to lay aside their selfishness in order to make a marriage work. They've got to submit themselves to one another. It's what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says. And they've got to get along with one another. They've got to work together. The same thing about raising children. Parents must lay aside their own self-will. They can't just do what they want to do now. They've got to buckle down and raise some children. Amen. And they need to raise them in the way that God intended for them to do. And then I got last and dealt with the fact that church membership's the same way. That for churches to be strong as they ought to be, church members must work together to make the church strong as God intended. We've got to lay aside our own wants sometimes. We've got to lay aside our own desires sometimes and submit to one another in the work of the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to preach today on what I call the defeat of self-will. The defeat. How can self-will be defeated? Perhaps there's someone out there listening that you find yourself more often than not really just being selfish. Just being so self-willed and given up to yourself. And maybe you was raised, like I was just saying, you were spoiled as a toddler, you were unrestrained as a teenager, and now you've come to the place as an adult that you realize there must be some restrictions put upon you, and you're not strong enough to do that on your own. How can you get to that point? Well, I believe that the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, gives us some very good advice on that. I want to show you. Philippians, chapter number 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, or men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So you see that our Lord Jesus used and exercised this ability to humble himself. Now, you say, but how can I humble myself? Well, the very first verse that I read, verse number 5, says, "Let this mind be in you." which was also in Christ Jesus. How do you let it? You've got to surrender your will to His will. That's what He said. Surrender your will to His will. If you have Christ living within you, then you can pray as the Lord prayed, not my will, but thine be done. I'm saying we ought to surrender our will to God. If we will do that, we can also surrender our will in these other situations that we come to, that we might be where God wants us to be. Amen. We can learn to be a follower rather than always feeling like we must be the leader. You don't have to be out front all the time. You don't have to be the one that is recognized all the time. We can learn that leading the way does not just mean rushing on ahead, but it actually means looking back and caring for those who might not be as strong as we are. Actually, caring for others. Listen, Dad, I know you've got to be a leader. Dads, husbands, you're in a position that you have to lead. But let me tell you this. Learn that leading does not always just mean rushing ahead and say, hurry up, woman, catch up with me. Hurry up, children, catch up with me. No. It means looking back and caring for those that are not as strong. Reaching out and taking your wife by the hand and helping her up those steps. Amen. Reaching back and taking the hand of those little ones and leading them along. And I've got Bible for it. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 12 through verse 16. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, can I say to you, mother, it may be that you see some of your children sort of struggling. I'm going to tell you, you ought to ask God for patience. You ought to ask God for help, not just that you could lead them, but that you could lend them your hand and help them make those steps towards the Lord and towards the things of God. Dad, the same way. Wife, husband, pastor, church member, fellow worker, co-laborer, those things. Listen, you've got people around you that need not only your leadership, but they need you lending them a hand that you can help them along. I believe a real leader is someone not just that climbs to the top, but someone who actually helps others make it to the top. You see, Peter, in the Bible, Peter was a natural-born leader. He was one whom our Lord welcomed into His inner circle. He gave him leadership training, if I could say it that way. Whenever Peter was in the midst, he seemed to stand out. His name was always mentioned first. But Christ, our Lord, had some words of instruction for Peter concerning his care for others. Here's what he said, Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Our Lord said, Peter, I'm praying you'll be as strong as you think you are, but I'm also praying that you'll learn to help others be strong. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He wanted Peter not only to be a leader, but to lend his hand to help others. If you want to be used of God, listen, friend, we must learn to continually surrender ourselves, surrender our will, not what we want, but what the Lord wants. If you want to be a leader, you must learn to follow. And you must learn to take care for others. Thank you for listening.